Open your Bibles, open your Bibles. Exodus chapter 19, Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 20 is right after 19. I'll tell you. You guys, I think you're smarter than the apostles thought Jesus was. I keep reading the Bible, and they actually, the things they remind him of is just stunning to me, right? But I think you're smarter than they thought Jesus was, right? That, you know, I don't think they thought he was that bright. Or they would just think he would miss things. It's amazing. I see it throughout the scriptures. We seem to think we need to remind God of things, and we don't. But now, here's the Exodus chapter 20, the Ten Commandments. So I think many Christians, after you've been saved a while, and you kind of Exodus chapter 20, you know that it's the Ten Commandments. I want to ask you this. How many of you, all right, like, he's like, what have I said in front of before? How many of you, raise of hands. Okay, I'm going to give you two options. Okay, the giving of the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20. Were those words spoken, okay, here's the two options, just to Moses or all of Israel? Just to Moses or all of Israel? Okay? How many of you, I'm talking audibly, say, just to Moses, raise your hand. How many say, all of Israel, raise your hand? You'll see tonight it was to all of Israel. The tablets were given just to Moses, but audibly in Exodus chapter 20, by all evidence, it's given to all of Israel. Well, it's super fascinating, right? I don't know if I've really got a hold of that. That's not like, oh, changed my life. I think there's a goodness of God that he verbalized that, then he gave it to him in writing and in the tablets. And so it's all good. It's all good. Well, let's read Exodus chapter 19. Title of the message, Preparing for Worship. Preparing for Worship. Let's just read this chapter, and then the chapter does a great job. God did a pretty good job. You know, we say this about he did a pretty good job outlining all this. He did a perfect job. Exodus chapter 19. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt. So it's been 3 months, or it's in the third month. So here we go. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. Mount Sinai is very significant. And so it's where... what happened? God met Moses, the burning bush. Okay? Kind of pretty cool. All right, verse 1. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim and were come to the desert of Sinai and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord hath spoken we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I have come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee, and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. Verse 10. And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people, and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and be ready against the third day. For the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all people upon Mount Sinai. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves, that ye go not up into the mount or touch the border of it. Whosoever touches the mount shall surely be put to death. There shall not an hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through, whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. The people will come up to the mount. Verse 14, and Moses went down from the mountain to the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives. Verse 16, and it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the nether part of the mount, at the bottom of the mount. Now, there were boundaries put around. We've already seen that, right? But they stood at the bottom, the nether part of the mount. Verse 18. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. Verse 19. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. I'm not saying that Moses didn't go up. He did. Right? Verse 20. But the people were at the bottom, and I think they heard him, and I think that's what chapter 20, so it's just interesting. Verse 20, and the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. And the Lord said unto Moses, go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. And let the priests also, which came near to the Lord, sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. Moses said unto the Lord, the people cannot come up to Mount Sinai. Do you see this? God. You don't know. We put a border. It's just God so patient. Moses argues with God. Anyway. And Moses, verse 23, said unto the Lord, the people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for thou charged us, saying, set bounds about the mount and sanctify it. And the Lord said unto him, away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee. But let not the priests and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. So Moses went down unto the people and spake unto them. And then chapter 20, and God spake all these words, saying, I'm convinced in the context, this is just me having fun with the Bible, okay? When he did the Ten Commandments here, he spoke it not only to Moses that was up the top in Aaron, but also unto the people. And he wanted them to hear him, and it's interesting. Again, title of the message, Preparing for Worship. Preparing for Worship. What's interesting is, from Exodus chapter 19 through Numbers chapter 10, I think that's a total of 57 chapters, it covers 1 year. Exodus 19 to Numbers 10, 57 chapters cover 1 year. Super fascinating when you understand all that God did, right? It's just fascinating for me, right, that he talks about all this that happened in beginning at Exodus chapter 19, right? Look back at Exodus chapter 3. I just want to show you what I referred to earlier. Exodus chapter 3, where God is speaking to Moses from the burning bush. And verse 12, Exodus chapter 3, verse 12, and God, speaking to Moses, the Lord, the great I am. And he said, Exodus chapter 3, verse 12, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token or a sign unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. And here we are, Exodus chapter 19. God has taken the Israelites out of Egypt. What a beautiful picture of removing us from bondage in sin, and then he's going to lead them to the promised land. What a great picture of salvation that is. Let's just walk through this chapter and just enjoy preparing for worship. You see, these are important things. These just aren't, you know, God wasn't, he didn't say, well, here's about how thick I want my book. Well, good grief. I got a lot more to write, right? Good grief. You know, Charlie Brown, if you ever watch Charlie Brown, that's where good grief comes from, right? So that's kind of like my speed. If good grief's not good, you tell me. I'll drop it from my vocabulary. But it's better than good night. People say good night. No, that was Stephen said good night, right? I was like, well, good night. I was about to leave. And I just noticed that because I say good grief. You say good night. Good grief's way better than good night. Both of them are just, you know, meaningless, right? Anyway, I don't even know where I was going. Oh, there you go. Thank you. Man, it's like early stages. You pray for me. And it is so many people say this. Well, you know, I've told you this before. Well, you know, all that matters that we're saved. I'm like, man, God could have given us a little tract, a little pamphlet. I guess he did decide how big the book was going to be, and he just filled it up. No, Exodus 19 is important. Leviticus 1 through 27. Important. And it will be. It's going to be good. I'm getting ready for it. And we're going to go to another book right before that, because once I'm done with Exodus gets it's good. So just hang in there. And so God wanted us. And when we talk about preparing for worship, there's things that we can learn how we can prepare our hearts for worship. Right? It's the same God. He is immutable. He doesn't change. And we can learn much from him. Let's just walk through this chapter and just see. First, I want you to see reminder of God's protection. A reminder of God's protection. Look at this in verse 3 and 4. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did unto the Egyptians. And so, you know, it's he wants them to see this, because Moses rehearsed these words to the Israelites. You want to prepare your heart for worship. There's a number of things he deals with. You and I, we have seen the goodness of God. Have you seen the goodness of God? You've seen the hardness of life. Have you seen the goodness of God? Do you rehearse that in your own mind, in your own heart? Have you seen the goodness of God? You've seen the goodness of God. We've seen the goodness of God. Life's really difficult. And the older you get, you'll see the goodness of God more and more and more. We've seen the goodness of God. We need to remember the goodness of God. We need to focus on the goodness of God, because he is good. If we put our eyes in the circumstances, we will not be happy. We will be discouraged, and we will struggle to worship. I think I told you this a long time ago. Now, my sister has a Bible study with me now. It's just amazing. You won't believe this, right? So this is about 3-4 months ago. And I think she watches every once in a while. Hey, talking about you. But not Wednesdays, probably. You watch Wednesdays, let me know. And you know, I try to have Bible study with her all the time. Try to have Bible study with her, right? So about 3 months ago, she goes, you know, you have Bible studies with everybody else. Why don't you have a Bible study with me? I didn't say anything. And I was like, you want a Bible study? I'll say, I'd be glad to have a Bible study. So we have a Bible study now. Every time I have lunch with her every other Thursday, and it's just good, right? It's just good. And it is, so years ago, right? So she had a troubled life, so in case you're watching, but I don't want to go into detail. So I met with her, and I had Bible studies with her years ago. And I told her this. I said, I want you to write down 50 things you're thankful to God about, 50 things. And you've heard me use that in marital counseling and all that, 50 things that you're thankful to God about. I said, if you can't and you don't, I won't have a Bible study. She did do it. And because her life was super hard. And she's had really difficult things. See, difficult things don't excuse how we respond to them, right? Tragic, horrible things. I mean, I won't go into it in public, but it's like, oh, wow, I'm glad that hasn't happened to me. But we still need to respond in a godly fashion. I don't know what your future holds, but we need to remember the things we've seen of God in his word, in our lives, and never forget it, because if we put our eyes on the circumstances, we will struggle worshiping him. But look at this in verse 4. He said, you have seen what I did unto the Egyptians and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. What? Okay, good. What am I doing? Those are on the wrong, but who cares? You got the second point, but these verses go to the first point. It's like, you can't get good help anymore, right? And so this verse here, Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 11, and we're going to go look at Deuteronomy. I just want to show you this. It's referencing this, as an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. We're going to see that in context. But God is, I didn't know this. I was just reading about eagles. And most birds, when they take their young, they will take them with their claws. Eagles don't. They burrow into their wings so that if something attacks them, or even human attacks, it has to go through mama to get to the bird. Is that a beautiful picture of God? In order for something to touch you, it has to go through God, and we can trust him, and he bears us on eagle's wings. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32, I want to show you the greater context. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, just three books over to the right. Three books over to the right. Deuteronomy chapter 32. I want us to read verses 9 through 15. Verses 9 through 15. And I just want you to enjoy the Lord, right? He has carried us on eagle's wings. He has taken care of me. And he has never let me down. And I want you just to see this and just, it's a beautiful picture. Deuteronomy 32, verse 9. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. I want you to understand this. The Lord's people, it's those that are saved, right? And he's talking about Israel, but the greater context in the Bible, because you're going to see there's many overlays with believers here. But just look at this. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. God delights and loves his people. He found him in a desert, speaking of Abraham and the whole, he found him in a desert in a waste, hollering wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. Verse 12. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth. Can you envision, made him ride on the high places of the earth on his wings, that he might eat the increase of the fields, and he made him to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock, butter of kine and milk of sheep with fat of lambs and rams of the breed of Bashan and goats with the fat of kidneys of wheat, and thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape. But the shoe run waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat. Thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. You see, when we forget, we may lightly esteem the rock of our salvation. It's Christ. I want you to just remember this, and if I have a hobby horse, you're like, you got a bunch of them, man. If I have a hobby horse, it's that people were saved the same way in the Old Testament they are in the New Testament. People are always saved the same way, and I will go to my grave, and I'm dogmatic on that, right? You may not like my dogma when it comes to Flynn, but thank you for that. Appreciate that. I needed someone to laugh because Flynn's upset. But it is they're saved the same way. They had forgotten the rock of their salvation. Let me just tell you this. I've been married 37 years. Do you think my heart, and it should, I know this is, you think my heart still flutters the same as it did when I was pursuing my woman? It doesn't. I'm afraid if it did, I might have a heart attack and die, but it is, I want to tell you this, familiarity breeds contempt. It ought never happen with Christ. It ought never happen with our wives or our husbands. We ought to, I've forgotten. I have an amazing wife, a good wife that likes me. I know that's a shock, right? Maybe the only person in the world, but my mom does, because she didn't really know me. and my wife does, and she knows me. And if I remember, I'll be more thankful for my wife, won't I? What do we dwell on, Brother Lee? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are negative, whatsoever things are discouraging, whatsoever things are bad, that's what I think on, right? I don't follow God's instruction. But when we do that with God, we will lightly esteem the rock of our salvation. You hear it all the time. Remember! Whatever it takes for you to remember how good God is. How good God is. He's been good to you. He's been good to you. He's been good to you. He's been good to me. And he wanted to remind them. And let me just tell you, it's not just happenstance here. It's because remembering how good God's been will help prepare our hearts to worship him properly. We will come to worship him in a state of mind that's correct. So there you go. So God's plan for Israel. So now you have the second point before I wanted to give you the second point, but let's look at verse 5 and 6. And don't look up at the screen. I don't care. He says, now therefore, here's God's plan for Israel. If you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant. And I want to tell you this. God's blessings are conditional. His grace isn't. If grace was conditional, it wouldn't be grace, right? But his blessings are conditional. That's what he's saying here in verse 5. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. I will tell you, if we really understand verse 5, and you're going to see it's repeated to believers in the New Testament. You're going to see that. If we get this, the greatest privilege in the world is to be a peculiar people, a holy priesthood unto the Lord. There's no greater privilege in life, but we lightly esteem it. But I will tell you, look at verse 5. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant. You want to be used of God? Obey. It's really not that difficult. It's not talent. It's not skill. It's obedience. Now God's given every single person in here gifts. He's given every single believer in here gifts. You may argue with me. I believe he gives every human gifts, and when you're saved, you use them for God. I know there's, and it's okay. There are people that say he gives the gifts after you're saved. I don't think so. I think you had them, and then you use them for his glory. Maybe you get one, but I haven't seen it. Right? The gifts I think God's given me, I had them before I was saved. And he's given you gifts, and he's blessed you. And all that God is asking us to do is obey. He's worth it. If you just sum up, what's my Christian life about? Honor the King. Honor the King. And he said, if you do, you have no clue what I will do through you. Don't be motivated by that, but be thrilled that he'll do things that will glorify him. And if you're going to be a peculiar people and a holy priesthood, there just may be suffering with it because the great high priest, Jesus Christ, suffered, and that was the greatest way he brought glory. But I want to tell you this. Now let's look at some scriptures. Peculiar treasure and a kingdom of priests. He says that in verse 5. Let's just walk through the Bible. Let's see he repeats this in Deuteronomy chapter 14. I just wanted to show you this again. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. Remember this. Holy means to be set apart. He chose the nation of Israel, began the nation of Israel with Abraham, and he was setting a nation aside through whom he would bring the Messiah. He said, I want a nation that'll be different from all their nations. All their nations have rebelled against me. They've rejected me as a nation. And he said, I want a nation that I will bring the Messiah through, that will be a holy people set aside unto the Lord. And the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all nations that are upon the earth. I will tell you, people ought to think you are strange. And they ought to be intrigued. We ought to be peculiar. Not weirdos, you know. But if you walk with God, people will see the difference and they will likely be uncomfortable. I don't live to make people uncomfortable, but you walk with God, they're going to be uncomfortable because their flesh wants nothing to do with it. We ought to be a peculiar people a unique people, a holy people, set apart unto God. And so look at Titus 2:14. It's about talking about Jesus, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify in himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. We ought to be zealous. We ought to want to do what's right. Then look at 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation, chosen to serve, a royal priesthood. What's the job of a priest? To intervene. We ought to be the people that intervene. We ought to say, well, I want to intervene for your life. I'll take you to the Lord, but I'll also intervene. That's why we met tonight. That's why we have outreach, so that it stirs our heart, not because we're just going to do it 1 hour a week, but we do that corporately so that we strive in some weak way to honor the Lord when he says, take the gospel to every creature, but it'll stir your heart so that the other 6 days and 23 hours of the week that you and I just might take the gospel to people, because he's called us to be in holy in a royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We ought to be a people that are ready to quickly praise the Lord, tell him how good he is. And you know what? People will think you're weird, and they might act like you're weird, but that's okay. Get over it. God said that. It's God's plan for Israel. It's God's plan if you're his. Not that you'll just assimilate into the culture and be no different than the culture. 90%, I'm making this up, 90% of the people that claim Christ, the only thing that they do is they believe in Jesus, but there's no difference whatsoever about them. There's no uniqueness. There's no holiness. There's nothing that the world would be bothered with, but they think they're good with Jesus. I can't find that description of a true believer in the Bible. Are you a peculiar treasure, holy priesthood, uniquely set apart unto God for his honor and his glory? It ought to concern us if we're not. All we need to do is obey, and God will use us. Remember this. Remembering this, understanding God's plan for us, will help us worship him. Help us worship him. Third thing, the words of the people. I do love Israel so much like us, but I can be so hard on Israel until I realize, oh, it's me. Verse 7. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. So Moses just tells him what God told him. And he tells, you know, particularly the leaders, the spiritual leaders, the elders of the people. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I've come unto thee, and in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee and believe thee forever. It's interesting. God wanted them to believe Moses because Moses was going to be the communicator of truth. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. Anybody have a thought where it might have been better how they could have worded verse 8? All that the Lord has spoken, we will do. I think it's a great statement. Could it have been said better? What do you think? Anybody have a thought? Any of our men have a thought? How could it be said better? All that the Lord hath said, we will do. It's you know, I okay, anybody else? I think we must remember this, but for the grace of God, there go I. And, you know, it reminds me a little bit of Peter. Peter, although all forsake you, I will not. You sort of love the heart of Peter in some way, even though it was a little bit jaded with our flesh. You got to love the intention of Peter, but it was still misguided. He could have said this, with the help of you, I can overcome sin and I will honor you, but I have no confidence in myself. I have confidence in you. Help me, Father, that I will honor you. I want to do all that you've said. By your grace, it's the only way I'll accomplish what you've asked. And by your grace, my heart says today, I want to do all that you've commanded. It seems a little like it was, I don't know, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. I love what they said in one vein. But did they do it? It was the biggest. You think the Titanic was colossal? This was worse. I think they They wanted to do what they said, but, you know, they wanted the Staples easy button, right? All the Lord has said, we will do. Jesus said, all that you've told me to do, Father, I will do. But take this cup from me, but not my will, but thine. You're going to honor the Lord. You're going to have a moment in the Garden of Gethsemane that it's like, this is too much. I can't take it from me, oh God, take it from me. I want you to just take me home. And then we must say, but not my will, but thine. You see, because Christianity's simple, not easy. A friend of mine told me that. That's a Toddism. That's one of the good Toddisms. I like this. Usually, you know, I'm like, whoa, man, I have to rethink that. Isn't that just beautiful? Christianity's simple, but not easy. All that the Lord hath said, we will do. I love the intent. We can do nothing without him. If we are to obey him, we need him. But I love this. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He's always with us. Will we just embrace the victory, the doors of escape that he's given us so that we will honor him? We want to worship him. Then we do need to do all the words that he said. Worship him in just beauty, right? I want you to see just the preparation for a visit from God. The preparation for a visit from God. Sanctify the people. Sanctify the people is just another way to say, set apart the people unto me and get them ready. Now let's just look what he says. What was getting them ready? It's very practical. Look at verse 10. And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow and let them wash their clothes. Wash your clothes. And I think you all washed your clothes. I'll just tell you this. I mean, again, it's the heart, okay? It's the heart. But there is something that says, you know, get the outside honorable to the Lord as well. It's, if you ask, it's 90-10, 90%, 99-1. It's the heart. God's after the heart. But when you think of this, there needs to be some preparation and planning to come and worship the King. Just don't wake up and go, oh, it's Sunday. I forgot it's time change. Oh, they already started Sunday school. You know when you should be preparing for Sunday is on Saturday. Saturday night should be sanctified, should be special, because you come in to worship the King, and it's right here. Yeah, wash the clothes. I don't think I've... Don't come stinking, right? But don't just get the outside right. Get the inside right so that we honor Him. It's a big deal when God comes to visit us, is it not? And so there's no mistaking this. When God comes to visit, and He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there will I be in the midst of him also. Jesus is here specially when we gather together. What are we coming to worship with? What spirit, what preparation, what thought are we coming to worship the King? That's what it's about. You follow me? Now, then he really gets interesting. Look at verse 14 and 15. And Moses went down from the mountain to the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. Now, maybe washing their clothes was a little bit more difficult in the wilderness, so it was a big deal that they washed their clothes, right? We don't have that big of an issue. But he mentions washing their clothes next, and then the shocking part is verse 15. I won't go into this in detail. And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day, come not at your wives. You know that? For our front row scholars, so don't be kissing your wife now, okay? Making it PG. And, I don't know if I've ever said this from the pulpit. Maybe I have. I probably should. Sister Carly's going, don't. Your wife's not here. I'm taking her place now. Tonight, don't. I don't touch Deb on Saturdays. I want to prepare my heart for Sundays. And she knows that. She comes at me strong. No, she doesn't. But... It is, I don't say any preacher has to do that. I want to be focused. And I'm going to tell you this. I love you. You're super patient with me. And, you know, I love being a pastor, but it's probably, there's so many flaws, so many flaws. I will tell you this. I want to take it serious. I want to come into the pulpit. I'm ready to go. And I want to come ready to worship. And I read these passages. And I say, I'm going to prepare. And you don't have to do this. You see, I just believe it's good for me. It's good for me. It's good for my wife. It's good for my wife. And she knows. It's like, she looks good on Saturday. You know, that's the problem. It's, but why? Why? I don't want to be distracted. I'm going to worship the King the next day. I need to wash my clothes. I haven't washed my clothes in 35 years. She needs to get back next Wednesday. I think I got enough to extend it, right? I do. But I honestly don't know how to turn on the washing machine. And Abby's leaving. Flynn probably knows. And so, but it is, I just want you to understand this. TMI, if I gave you TMI tonight, I'm just telling you this. I want to honor the King with my heart without distraction. And you don't have to do that. I just know this. There is a unique thing when he calls out the priest, the representatives of God. I am not any more special than you, but I will be held more accountable than you, justly so. You understand that? I'm not saying I'm better or I'm different. I will justly be held accountable. And he calls them out, the priest. And so I better take it serious. When I'm preaching to you, I will tell you, I will answer justly so. God is so good, perfect, holy, and righteous in everything he does. And you know what? I better take it serious. And I want that to bleed over into you a little bit. It's with this old heart. Sure, wash your stinking clothes. Right? But come respectful to the King. Come respectful to the King. Absolutely. Absolutely. I think I told you this a long time ago, right? My mom doesn't watch. Years ago, have I told you this before? My mom said, I shouldn't tell on her. She denied she said this, but she did. She said, you know what I love about our church? She said, we just get to wear sweatpants and t-shirts on Wednesday night. Have I told you this before? Have I told you? I probably haven't. I haven't had the guts. Sweatpants and t-shirts on Wednesday night. And I said, Mom, I'm going to die before you. And I said, you make sure of this. You come to my funeral. You better wear sweatpants and a t-shirt. I said, because I would not want you to honor a dead man more than the living King. And you know, my mom's like, oh, well, yeah. So, and she, I just, you know, if you have sweatpants and a t-shirt on tonight, I'm not picking on you, so I probably should. Anybody have sweatpants and a t-shirt? Please leave. I've got a little story to tell. My mom... I'm allowed to help my mom, right? I told you this. Guys, let me just tell you. You know how I help you with your dating? My mom started dating my stepdad. They've been married now 10, 11 years. I don't know how long it is, right? I looked at my mom and I said, you are not allowed to have Lou in your house by yourself. And she said, I am 70-something years old. I forget how old she was. I am 70-something years old, and you will not tell me what to do. I said, okay, God did. I said, you need to do what's right. I said, it's a testimony thing. I didn't follow up, you know. I camped out of her house for 4 or 5 days, didn't. But no, it is. I'm just trying to give her good advice. You guys think I'm tough on you? My mama got it from me. I was trying to help her. I was trying to help my mom, right? It's a little, that upward thing is always difficult, right? It's just always difficult. But you know why? It matters. It matters. It's not about rules. You see, the Lord matters. It's about the heart. It's the mindset. If we grasp this, it's our mindset. Repentance is all about a mindset, is it not? I'm done. Oh God, I want to do what's right. But I can't do it without you. Sanctify the people. I just tell you this. I'm telling you this. Can you guys tell? Maybe you can't. If I get stressed, I'm a little more wound up. Does this seem like I'm a little more wound up on Sunday mornings? I'm a little more wound up, right? I am. So I'm comfortable around you. I'm relaxed. You know, Sunday morning, it's like, you know, and I need to take a chill pill. I do. But I am I am wound tight on Sunday morning. You know, I'm a little bit more relaxed on Sunday night and Wednesday night. And it's a big deal. You ought to come as though it's a big deal too. You know? Thank you. Been waiting for an amen this entire time. I was going to keep on until, no. I know you guys agree with that. It's a mindset. Let's be conscious about it, okay? Let's be conscious about it. It's like, oh, I've got to go worship the King. He's coming down. He's coming down, a visit from God. Set boundaries. Set boundaries. Is this just good? Don't be like, well, they set boundaries around Mount Sinai. Oh, that's so good. Next verse. Why did they set boundaries around Mount Sinai? There's things we ought not to touch. There's things we ought not to do. And the consequence of doing them, it just might kill us. Now, I want to help you understand this. There's a beautiful picture of this, and I'll get to talk about this in weeks to come. You know, I'm really not trying to be controversial, but I know when I say this, it's probably going to, you know, somebody's going to disagree. I don't think what's happening on Mount Sinai really represents what the fear of the Lord is. I think it represents the law. The law kills. It's the grace of God that saves through His Son, Jesus Christ. And when you compare living by the law, it's terrifying. And when you see the life in Christ, it's awesome. And so I want you to, it can represent a little bit of fear of the Lord. I'm just saying, I don't think God wants us. There is a reference, there is a fear, but it's this. I can boldly approach the throne of grace because I've been saved. But if you're not saved, it's like the Wizard of Oz, and you can't approach it because you're terrified. Oh, Christian, we can. But I want you to know what we've been saved from is Mount Sinai and the law. Is the law good? It is good because it teaches us that we are bad and we are in trouble. But I want to tell you this. It is it's such a glorious picture to be under the law, like we talked on Sunday night. If you're saved, you're not under the law. You're under grace. We no longer have the judgment of God to fear. Now, Moses and God on Mount Sinai, let me just show you this. The people trembled. And so, you know, there is a trembling. There is a trembling. Look at verse 16. And it came to pass on the third day, very fascinating. I'll talk more about this later. On the third day, very fascinating. God does a lot of things on the third day. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. Remember, the trumpet would tell them, here, come to the mount. And the Lord descends. Look at verse 17. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. Let me just mention this. Did the Israelites quake and shake? They did. Well, they were doing some horrible things just shortly thereafter. You see, you may have a shaking, quaking fear of God, but what you need to do is have the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You may shake and quake, and that isn't godliness. It's love that'll lead you to obey and honor Christ. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of knowledge. But let me just tell you, these same people that were shaking in their boots were doing terrible things in just a little time. And so the people trembled, but the Lord descends. Moses goes up, verse 20. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. You know, I'll just tell you this. Moses was, everybody else that touched the mount, dead. You know, going to be thrust through or be stoned. Animal, dead, thrust through or be stoned. Moses was given the privilege to go to God. Isn't that amazing? Beautiful picture of you and I. Because of Christ, we get to approach God boldly. It's an amazing thing. And Moses just privileged, you're privileged, you're privileged, you're privileged, and we don't see it. We don't understand. We get to go to the God of the universe. He's not too busy for me. He's not too busy for you. Is that just amazing? He deals with me as though I'm the only one talking to him. It's an amazing God, an infinite God, an unlimited God, a God that's so amazing, and I get to go and I get to talk to him, and you don't have to wait in line. Isn't that good? Remember how many people were waiting in line for Moses? They had to get, you know, however many thousands of it was to do all that delegation. No, God, you're not waiting in line for God. It's an amazing thing, amazing thing. And then I'm going to just tell you this, God mercifully, or God graciously, I changed my wording. Nassim and Ron had an amazing discussion. Whether they agree with me there, I'm not sure. But God graciously sends Moses back down. Why? Because we don't listen well. They set the bounds. Moses is like, they're not coming through. And God goes, get back down there. You don't know people. You know, and so I want you to remember this. I'm going to ask my front row scholars. So I'm going to ask. Do I repeat myself a lot? Do I repeat myself a lot? You have to pick yes or no. Do I repeat myself a lot? Do I repeat myself a lot? Do I repeat myself a lot? Do you care? Do I repeat myself a lot? Oh no, you have to pick. You know, I'll give Everly a little break there. Do I repeat myself a lot? Well, Dana, that was a little bit too enthusiastic there, right? It's like I didn't ask the second row scholars. I didn't ask the second row scholars. Well, let me help you know. You know why I repeat myself a lot? Because of your stiff necks and mine too. We need to hear from God, and it usually doesn't get through this thick skull the first time. And it's the grace of God that gives it to us a second time and a third time and a fourth time and a fifth time. And oh, I beg you, don't tire of being reminded what God wants. We need it. We need it. Otherwise, we will do the stupid things and we'll be like, I wonder what's bound this boundary here. I just wonder. And then sin will destroy when we don't listen to God. And so, yes, I do repeat myself a lot. I had $1,000 if all of you would have given the same answer to every one of you. No, he says, thou shalt not bear false witness later in Exodus 20. I was just kidding. But I wanted this all to be on one slide, and I'm almost done. I want you to just step back. You go and enjoy Exodus chapter 19. And I really believe this is preparing the hearts of the people to worship God. And he's going to lay out the commandments next week. And it'll take me a number of weeks, probably through Exodus 20. We need to remember God's goodness and his protection. We need to understand God's plan. It's so that we would be a royal priesthood and a peculiar people set apart unto God. And the words of the people were good, but I think we need to have, you know, we can only do good through Christ. We can do nothing without him. But I'd love us to have the words of the people, all that you have said, all that you have spoken, we will do. And in preparation for a visit from God, we need to do some preparation. We need to do some heart management for the Lord. And then there is some trembling, but I'd suggest we need to understand that God is always present and hate evil. But I will tell you, the Lord comes down every service. God's here tonight. Especially. He's here just for he indwells with every believer. But when I teach later this summer on what I believe to be biblical ecclesia, when you have a Bible study, two or three, he's not there like he, that's not what Matthew 18 is talking about. Can you guys, you just tell me the truth. Don't be making it up. Is it different when you come into an assembly of God's people than our Bible study? Bible study is helpful, good. It's different, is it not? It is, okay, you better say that. I prepped you for saying that. But no, so many people said that. You know why? Because Jesus is here specially. I think he's blessing us. He indwells me. If you're a believer, he indwells you. But it's this, he's here specially. We need to come prepared because the Lord descends. And you know, I was singing this song in preparation. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget. That's the next verse. I was singing it the other day. After I'd wandered in darkness alone, Jesus, my Savior, I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend. He met the need of my heart. Shadows dispelling, with joy I'm telling, He made all the darkness depart. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Every time we gather, heaven comes down. Heaven is Christ. Are we prepared to worship the King? He is worthy.